Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, mark like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
It's very kind of you to invite me along to the show. You're nuts, you two.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for your time. What a wonderful show. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. This is Douglas Viviani with David Cohen. David Cohen, how are you doing today?
Very well, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's good to be heard. Speaking of hearing and music, speaking of hearing, something that we do and enjoy many of the times when we're listening to something is listening to music. We are continuing our investigation, if you will, into cover songs, our fourth show on cover songs. And I am here today with not Chris Difford, who is from Squeeze and one of our favorite guests, but the minister of melody, the harbinger of harmonies, the titan of tune, David Cohen. How are you?
How late were you up last night thinking of those little
I have to tell you, they phrases just come to mind. I mean, I thought about just now. What do you, huh?
Yeah.
You mean there's some kind of preparation that goes on? Please.
I liked it. I liked it very much. Thank you.
There you go. Now, we talked about
a lot of pressure on me now with those titles.
There is.
I'm ready.
That's correct. Well, you lived up to it the last three shows, so we're good there. Now that we enjoyed all that expertise, we're going to explore something different this week. I'm going to surprise our connoisseur of the composition with a few cover songs that I have enjoyed through the years. And wonder, what are your thoughts? Why weren't they on your previous lists for the last three shows? Once more into the breach, right? Every good boy does fine, if you will. Cover songs. Now, where's Every Good Boy Does Fine come from? You played and learned your instruments by yourself, correct? Like, self-taught?
Yeah. Do you have any idea? Those are the guitar strings, the order of the guitar strings.
Oh, there you go. E, G, B, D, F. As long as you read music, that's the lower portion of the scales, if you will, the lower voice of what you're reading for music. If you know that, Every Good Boy Does Fine, you know, that's you're in the game. If you're not, if you don't know it, it's okay. Doesn't matter, because we're right here, right now, going to be talking about
fine little girl.
What song is this?
Me catch the ship across the sea.
Four different bands playing the same song. All right, so what do we got there? Any clue?
Well, the last one was Otis Day and the Night from Animal House,
exactly,
of course.
But originally, there's Louie Louie is a song. You mentioned that. You said that. So who's the first one? Do you have any idea who the first one to perform that song and create that song?
I don't have any idea.
Have you heard of anyone called Richard Berry? That's who that was.
I've heard of Richard Berry, yes.
I never did. So he created that.
He wrote and performed the song before the Kingsmen did?
Yes, 1955.
I did not know that.
Kingsmen did it.
Wild and wacky stuff.
Yeah, Kingsmen did it in 1963, and Animal House was, what, 79? How about that? That's so bad.
Oh, yeah, sure. But I didn't know anyone had done it prior to the Kingsmen.
One of your favorite movies of all time, right? One of your favorite comedies, Animal House.
Yeah. No, but I'm getting back to the original, because the original, well, what I thought was the original, is like a real, you know, called like garage rock classic. It was one of the first.
Yes.
But I didn't know it had existed before that.
So many people say that is the cover song of cover songs. More people have, more have covered it than anyone else, but mostly everyone covers it, knows it. It's basically what you tell me, three chords and a bridge. Is that pretty much that song?
It is, but the lyrics are almost indecipherable. So I'd be impressed if anybody really could understand how to sing it. Sure, it's easy to play.
Right, you know? Exactly. It's actually.
Can you utter one phrase from that song?
It's actually,
other than Louie Louie.
Yeah, it's actually quite dirty, if you will, from what I understand the lyrics. So let's play a nut. Now, here's some
Well, wait, but I don't know the answer yet.
But wait a minute, we're still going with the same song, so we may get the lyrics.
Really?
Now we've got. Let me see who I've got doing this. One, get a pen and piece of paper. You got one handy? One, two, three, four, five different performers doing Louie Louie. I want to see if you can describe who they are.
I see a pen. Hold on.
he's so prepared. What Everybody listening, go get a pen and a piece of paper. See if you can challenge David Cohen, the harbinger of harmony, the titan of tune, the minister of melody. I like that. The best one is the connoisseur of composition. He's ready. Here we go. There are five songs. Connoisseur's ready. Five songs here of Louie Louie. Tell me who's performing what. Here we go. You ready?
They like it loud, too, you know.
I challenge you to know who was the first, and it's you're gonna blow your mind. The first performance, by the way, was 1967 at the Royal Albert Hall in England. It was a horrible version of Louie Louie. Do you know who it was?
It's really bad sound quality. I mean, if you're giving me the year in Royal Albert Hall, that's a hint. Otherwise,
it's not an English person, though.
Not an English act.
No.
Not a UK act. No, that I don't know.
It's someone, I know you'll know when I say this. The Mothers
Zappa?
Of the Invention is the name of the band. Yeah, Frank Zappa.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it goes to Zappa even. He did that. You wouldn't recognize, knowing him, of course, you know, you don't recognize it from his version. But what about the other one? Now, the other ones, you could hear some of the words, by the way. After Zappa, who was it?
I don't think I got the second one either.
The Clash, believe it or not.
Okay.
How about that? Third one was easy.
Springsteen?
He's pretty distinctive, right? What after that?
Joan Jett.
Yes. And finished it up with?
I'm just guessing it kind of sounded like Tom Petty.
It was Tom Petty. So you got 3 out of 5. I expected you to get maybe 4 because that first one was literally impossible to get. But my question is, why there is obviously so many people that are performing this song? What's up with that?
Well, it's a classic, you know, old time rock and roll song. And the lyrics have a lot to do with it. Louie Louie. I mean, it's just one of those anthem kind of songs that everybody and their brother and their father and their daughter and their grandmother knows. So it's a party pleaser, and it's easy to play. And if you're a rock band, you know, especially back in the day, you know, when the time periods that you were playing those songs from, it was a standard cover song, I think.
Let me ask you a question, because other than Zappa, in those 5 that I played, other than Zappa, those other 4 all played that and performed it after Animal House's version. Do you think Animal House's version turned it up a notch, or do you think it was just as popular before Animal House?
No, it was just as popular before Animal House. Oh, it was definitely popular before.
It was definitely popular, but just, I mean, in terms of being covered, because I could not find many covers before Animal House. I found the 2, the Richard Berry and the Kingsmen, but none others, and that doesn't mean there weren't any. I mean, you know, just because it's not on my research doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it was easy to find those other 4 and plenty more other, let's say, bands after 80 that have played this song.
Yeah, they may not have been recorded, but I think in the 70s with a lot of movies, including Animal House, there was sort of this resurrection of those old 60s rock and roll songs. I remember in Stripes, Doo-Wah Diddy.
Right.
that became really popular again, but it had been before. Just because maybe you're having trouble finding recorded covers of it, prior to Animal House doesn't mean that bands were just weren't playing it. But do you, I see what you're saying.
Do you think it deserves to be played so much?
No.
Neither do I. I like mean, it. I'm just confused as to why it's so popular.
Because when the Kingsmen did it, it just the sound, right? You remember their version because it was something really unique. It was garage band.
Right.
Sound to it. It was sort of like, you know, a couple of literally it's what it sounds like a guy's in their garage and there's an echo and the recording isn't very clear. And but that's what made it classic. And it's difficult to reproduce that unless you completely reimagine the song, which no one I heard that you played the clips.
Well,
for,
Zappa did.
I think really did.
Zappa did. But you don't want to hear that again. But you do want to hear Everything Old Is New Again. We'll be back right after this. Everything Old Is New Again. Covers on.
My little girl, she wait for me. Catch the ship across the sea.
You're listening to Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hey, this is Rob Hyman.
And Eric Bazillion from the Hooters.
And you are listening to Douglas Viviani and David Cohen
on Everything Old Is New Again.
How about that? Well, listen, we are here and now. We're with it. We're happening. We're cutting edge.
We're happening in 1988. We're happening then, yeah.
Well, we had them on the show. Those are cool cats, man, and they enjoyed being with us. Will be with us again, I would suggest, from the Hooters. We had some fun. But just trying to show we have had brushes with, you know, musicians. We're talking cover songs with David Cohen. And let's see what we've got here. Continuing the Animal House theme, let us look at, see, hear a song that is featured in Animal House, but also I've got, if you want to do this again, there are five performers performing this song.
Yeah, David, I know what song it's going to be.
All right, but tell us the five performers. Write this down. I guarantee.
Is it the same? Is it the same five?
No.
I'm ready. Do it.
Pen and piece of paper. Here we go. Ready.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget now. Come on now. I still.
David Cohen, what do you think? Do you know who those five were?
I think I have most of them.
All right.
So the first one was, I think, the original group that did this song, the Isley Brothers.
Yes, correct.
Then the second one, it's probably the Temptations.
Yes, how about that?
Third one, of course, from Animal House again, Otis Day. Otis, my man. Billy Joel.
Yes.
Which is new to me. I'd never heard that until that clip.
There's always something new here and Everything Old Is New Again. And then there's...
the last one, which was by far the worst one. I don't know.
Glee.
Cast
of Glee. Yes. Now here, I have a thought before we get into Shout and all those performers. With respect to Glee and other shows that feature music in them, there's not many, but there's a few on the air. I forget the other one now. There was a Perfect Harmony. It lasted one season, and there's something on now where this girl sings. She could hear other people talking as they're singing. I forget what the name of that. So I tried so hard to like that show. I just couldn't. Question is, do those help or hurt cover songs? In other words, Glee was, the show was cover songs. You know, obviously, I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes.
Did that help or hurt this genre, if you want to call it a genre? Of cover songs.
Did Glee's cover help or hurt?
Not just Shout, but all. I mean, they did almost every song you could think of over the whatever five seasons that they were on the air.
Well, first of all, I never liked Glee, but I know it had a huge following. So I'm sure it influenced or got people to listen to the originals again. I'm sure it did. So in that respect, I'm sure it helped.
And in some level, I haven't heard them all, but on some level, there are songs I'm sure that they did well, and on some level, because they couldn't have been on for that long if they didn't.
Okay, let's do another show. You name me. The whole show will be about trying to convince me that they did one song well.
Well, your characteristics of doing a song that is successful as a cover song is met by when they did, and this is a whole other show, and that's why I brought this up, to do a show about this, but they did Yesterday, and they slowed it down, and they gave it sort of a different meaning with the video and so forth, and...
Isn't Yesterday a slow song to begin
with? No, they slowed it and changed it. They made it a very different song. But anyway.
Okay, let's check it out.
It's a subject for another day, just to, you know, television shows that do music, they all do covers. Is that worthwhile? That's that. But let's listen to, again, Shout is like Louie Louie, right? I mean, everybody's doing, has done and is doing this song.
Sure.
Why
sure.
is that? Again, same routine? It's just such a classic? I mean,
when we were growing up and they played Shout and you're out at a party or at a bar or something, there was also that, you know, that stupid little move you made when Shout, you threw your arms up in the air.
Right.
So not only was it a great song because it was just a great, like, call and answer, Sean. It's called like a call and answer thing,
right,
where one singer says something and the other singers respond to it. It was a great party song, just like Louie Louie. So for that reason alone, it was popular and just, you know, it's just a classic, great rock and roll song.
And I'm going to tell you again that Animal House, to me, had an influence on bringing that song back. I'm just going to stay with
Probably.
That. I might be wrong, but I'm going with it.
No, you're probably right. And it was, you know, the other theme that those two songs share in common, I think, is joy, right?
Right.
They're happy. So they're just so fun and they make people happy. And isn't that the purpose of music? I'm
exactly.
going off on a tangent here, but that's why people cover it.
Correct. At least to elicit emotion. Not every song is written to make you happy, but those are. And they do it.
Yes.
All right, so
Absolutely.
Let's try another one. I've got the original performer and then the well-known performer for this one. Here we go.
Get out of that kitchen, baby, wash your face and hands. Get out of that kitchen, baby, wash your face and hands. Wear your big smile, supper, because I'm such a hungry mess.
I said shake, rattle and roll. I said shake. I said shake, rattle and roll. Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul.
David Cohen, Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Didn't we cover that in...
We may have a little bit there. Big Joe Turner, right? 54?
Yeah, that's... right, that was on the previous show we did. That's one of my favorite sort of combination. The original was great, Big Joe Turner. And there's a great video on YouTube where you can actually see him performing it, and it's really fun to watch. And then Bill Haley and the Comets doing a similar cover, but it was different for some reason. It was and both were just, again, getting back to just the fun and the joy of the song and the joy in watching both of those bands perform it. Not only can you could see the videos of them perform it and how much fun they're having, but you can hear it, right? You can hear it in the voices and you can hear it in the instrumentation. And I think that's why both work.
But I think it's interesting also that Louie Louie, Shout, Shake, Rattle, and Roll, the origination of all of them were from the 50s. And still to this day translate to a fun time, fun song, and has been, and I don't know if they'll ever go away, has been covered over and over again, but really not. There's some good covers, of course, as we just talked about, but there's a lot of others that just play it, you know, as an extra encore, even on the local band stand, so to speak, in your local bar. That you could almost request any of these songs, and even if the band kind of doesn't know it, they could break into it, right? They're easy enough, three chords and stuff, or no?
Oh, absolutely. You don't really have to be a great musician to play Shake, Rattle, and Roll or Shout. I mean, it's a very basic chord structure. If you know how to play a basic rock and roll song, you'll know how to play those. So they're easy to do. But yeah, and it's amazing how, like what you were saying, generation after generation becomes familiar with it and knows it. It's real testament to the quality of the song.
That's a real rarity. And another show we can do is maybe to predict songs from like 2010 to 2020 and which ones people, if any people, will be listening to 50, 60 years later. like these.
Yeah.
I would challenge you, and I know we will never know the answer, but I would challenge you that the songs from the 50s and the 60s will be covered, still covered, you know, in 50 years from now, and the songs from, let's say, 2000, 2020 will not. How about that for a challenge? It's not across the board, but the majority.
Yeah.
A better way to say it is a lot more songs from the 50s and 60s will be covered and still covered in the 50s, in 50 years from now, than the songs from 2020 back to
maybe
2000.
Sadly, you and I will not know the answer to that.
But we can argue about that. We have the argument you love to have. How about this one? Last one for this section. Tell me what you think of this.
Yeah, I'm dazed and confused that it's all upside down.
I have to confess that I did not know, and I wasn't a huge Zeppelin fan. I did like him, but I wasn't a huge Zeppelin fan. Did not know that that song, Dazed and Confused, was even a cover. And we heard the original from Jake Holmes there, David Cohen. What do you think of the remake of Dazed and Confused by Jimmy Page and Zeppelin?
Well, they sounded like two completely different songs, right?
Yes.
So that's number one on, I think, my list of what really helps make a great cover song. And so I think Led Zeppelin did that. Of course, you know, they had their own sound, too. So every song they did, you could tell, was a vintage. You knew right away a Led Zeppelin song. You still do to this day. It's funny because when you play that, you know who that the original artist reminds me of? And it sounded very much like the White Stripes, Jack White from the White Stripes. So I want to do a little digging there. I wonder how much, he influenced Jack White also. So.
Interesting, right? And who's heard of Jack Holmes these days? I mean, you probably have, but none of us really have, you know? And there's a song that we know created by someone that we don't know. That, I think, is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and didn't Zeppelin, they were sued for Stairway to Heaven, right? I think some other band, like one, or maybe they settled out of court, that actually was the influence for Stairway to Heaven. And they sued Led Zeppelin, and I think they won.
That's another show we could do is music that involves a lawsuit one way or the other, who won, who didn't win. How about that on Everything Old Is New Again?
That'd be pretty cool, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back right after this. Continue more thrills, adventure, excitement with the Sultan of Swing himself, David Cohen.
Hi, I'm John Billingsley, and I help run the Hollywood Food Coalition. We serve a hot, nutritious 5-course meal to hungry men, women, and children 7 nights a week, 365 days a year. We distribute clothing, shoes, blankets, backpacks, you name it. We help people access a huge array of other services from partner groups. Please join us by making a donation to the Hollywood Food Coalition through our website, hofoco.org, hofoco.org. $3 buys a hungry person a great 5-course meal.
Hi, this is David Soul. You're listening to Douglas Viviani and David Cohen, and Everything Old Is New Again. Take my word for it.
Take your word for it that Everything Old Is New Again. David Soul was on our show also. We can call him a musician. He had a top 10. I may have hit number one. Remember that song, David Cohen?
No.
Don't give up on us, baby.
I know he did, but I don't. Oh, don't give up on us. Oh, wow. How many times has that song been covered, huh?
You can't. See, you can't cover it because you can't do as well as David Soul.
No, I disagree. You shouldn't. You shouldn't cover it. That's the difference.
But we were going to make sure that David Soul does not hear those comments. But
I know that's joking. I'll cover it. Next show, I'll cover it. I like that song.
With what? A blanket? What are you going to do? Anyways, David Cohen, our harbinger of harmony. And we are just trying to get a little idea as what's going to happen with the little squeeze a little bit more out of cover songs that were missed, I'm going to say, by David Cohen. Here's one that I think is very interesting to me. I want to hear and talk about this.
Can I just interrupt?
Of course.
I did not miss these. They just didn't make my list.
Correct.
I just wanted to clear
that
up.
All right, that makes sense.
There's a reason they weren't on my list, and we're talking about it today. Not that we shouldn't be talking about them. That's not what I mean at all, but I just want to be clear.
Well, my perspective is you missed them, but that's a part of the argument, right? I mean, the idea is I'm thinking it should have been included.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I'll go back and listen. I think I knew of all those covers except for Louis, the band that preceded the Kingsmen doing Louis right. Louis. I thought they had created it, so yeah.
All right, here we go. Here is,
okay, I'm right. Yep.
Is let's see, there's 1, 2, 3 versions right here of Turn, Turn, Turn.
Do everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn.
And day of time to every purpose.
So there we go. There's Pete Seeger and Judy Collins, The Byrds, and Springsteen again. I mean, Springsteen shows up everywhere. What's up with that?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I don't recall him like doing anything other than his original songs. So this was a long time ago, but it sounds like he's basically covering every song ever written.
There's some reason why he's doing that. I don't want to get into that per se, but I mean, he does these 3-hour shows. Maybe he's tired of his own music. I don't know what. Maybe his own music, the new stuff is maybe not as good as the old stuff, and he realizes that. People want to hear something else.
Ouch.
I don't know.
Much for him appearing on this show in the future.
Well, that's why I say, because they don't respond to us. No, I would argue that, but that's everything he does in the beginning was wonderful and new and fresh. And now when I hear him do stuff, and this is just me, what do I know? But I hear it and I know it's Springsteen. I know it's Springsteen right away. And it sounds like the last album, the first album. So, I mean, the last album sounds like the last album before that. Recently, it's kind of derivative of itself. Am I wrong? You tell me.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, but okay. I cut him a break.
But it doesn't mean he's not good. Doesn't mean he's not great. It's just like, hey, you know, it's nice to hear these cover songs from him because it is actually different in some ways from what he's doing now. Anyway, what do you think of Turn, Turn, Turn? I think it's very interesting how it started out so wispy, so just like...
It's like, it was kind of a folky song by Pete Seeger, and definitely different interpretations of it.
And to me,
they were all good.
To me, The Byrds, is that an underrated band to you? They really turned that into a real, totally different turn on it, and successfully.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely. And the reason that didn't make my list is because I thought there was another Byrds cover that we did on my show that I thought was more reflective of why The Byrds became, so well known. That was Mr. Tambourine Man. But they also had a hit with Turn, Turn, Turn. And The Byrds were underrated because I don't think people realize the kind of influence that they had on rock and roll that was to follow for a lot of reasons, which we can actually do a whole show on. Because folk rock and the electrification of folk rock, which started with Bob Dylan at the Newport, name escapes me, but the festival that he played in 1964 and like turned folk music on its head. The Byrds were sort of an evolution of that day forward and a real influence in the blending of folk, original folk rock with rock and roll. And I think what you played there was a nice, nice example of that progression.
Now, anybody in The Byrds that, if you're not initiated, you would recognize the name of after they broke up, or anybody that's in The Byrds that's someone popular, or were they better together than apart?
I think they were better than apart. Roger McGuinn, and I think it was Roger McGuire also. Great songwriters. They did stuff individually after that as well, but I think forever will be known more as The Byrds, as a group.
Now, did they have a hit that was not a cover?
Well, actually, let me just correct myself there. First of all, McGuire was not part of The Byrds. He had his own thing going. David Crosby was a member of The Byrds. So if there's someone that you do remember from that band, it was him, even though they kind of kicked him out at some point.
That's what I was trying to dig up. Yeah, Crosby, Stills,
and Nash. Yeah, and also, exactly. And to a lesser extent, I don't want to say lesser, a different extent, Graham Parsons for a short time was part of that band, and Graham Parsons was a very influential sort of country crossover artist, had some great music and was very influential to artists going forward. But anyway, to your point, I think The Byrds as a band, David Crosby with the exception there, probably more well-known than its individual members.
There you go. Okay. I just thought it was interesting, Crosby's progression. Sometimes you just, you know, hear stories and you see, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Forrest, Stills, Nash and Young, all this stuff, and you just see this chubby guy and whatever, and he does great stuff. Yeah. But you don't realize that he was kind of, I mean, kind of Beatles-esque in a way with you know, with the Birds, you know, on the heels in the 60s and with that look and covering these songs, and certainly had a great influence on that band. And I really like him, but that's just an aside, right? We could do a whole show, I guess, on bands that have been overlooked. Why don't we could do that too?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, how about this? Memphis, Chuck Berry, and who else?
Information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you. Help me find the party, trying to get in touch with me.
She could not leave a number, but I know who placed the call. Cause my uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall.
Help me, information, more than that I cannot have. Only that I miss her and all the fun we had. We were pulled apart because Mama would not agree. Help me get in touch with her in Memphis, Tennessee.
David Cohen, who was that?
Was that last one John Lennon?
It was the Beatles, 1963. How about that? Viviani comes out with all of this stuff.
Nice.
Johnny
nice
Rivers one. Before that, 64. What do you, first of all, think of this song by Chuck Berry? Secondly, and more importantly, those covers.
Great song. Didn't make my list because I think the covers were just duplicates of what he did for the most part.
I agree.
Johnny Rivers was a little different, but not really.
I agree, and I think it's interesting to hear a second cover by the Beatles. I don't know that the Beatles did. Well, we did Twist and Shout. We did a couple other. I don't know that they do them so well. You tell me.
There were certain songs that they covered really well, I thought, because it was they didn't try to duplicate the sound. I think they did better at covering Motown songs than they did and other songs. For example, they did a lot of Broadway show cover songs, believe it or not, that fit into the Beatles sound and were completely different than, you know, what the original soundtrack you'd hear from Broadway. But when it came to just covering, you know, like Chuck Berry or just rock and roll songs, yeah, I don't think they were very creative. I mean, Roll Over Beethoven was a good cover, and I thought George's lead guitar on it was better probably than Chuck Berry's. But I think overall, if you step back from it, when the Beatles did a cover of a type of music that was outside the world of rock and roll, I think they did a much better job.
Do you think that they had, this is an odd question, too much respect for the original version to feel, I mean, we're talking about now the early 60s, and they barely put out an album, you know, at this point. Do you think they had too much respect, so to speak, to want to change it and just said, well, let's just do it as is? I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah, no, they did. They absolutely did, because, you know, they were turned down by Decca Records before they signed with Capitol, because Decca thought that guitar bands were going out of style and there were just too many of them. So if you think about it, guitar band, meaning you think back to Chuck Berry and all the Chuck Berry covers that bands at that time around the world were doing. I think they, out of respect, I don't know if it was out of respect, but they were so influenced by Chuck Berry and music like that. You know, it just became part of their sound. And that's why their covers of it, you know, were not imaginative, because it sort of formed the roots of their own sound, if that makes sense.
It does. Does it make sense that we need to take a break? We do. We'll be back right after this, and everything old is new again.
Mama would not agree. Help me get in touch with her, amen.
Barbecue guy here with Fondue. Fondue, what are you doing? You got something there with some ice cream. What are you making up here?
I sure do, barbecue guy. I'm topping my favorite ice cream with Howie's Spiked Cherries, alcohol infused.
Never heard of such a thing. First of all, who's this guy, Howie? And what the heck is a spiked cherry? And what kind of flavors? It looks like you got an original and a balls of fire. They look pretty good. But
they are. HowieSpike.com. You can order them yourself. Actually, if you'd like to try one, why don't you use a sterilized fork and just take one.
A fork? I need a fork for it. Are you kidding? I'm opening this up, digging in with my two fingers. It's perfect. Grabbing out a couple of cherries. And oh, I dropped one on the floor. You want this one here? Let me get you take that one. And let me take the rest.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Hey. Now that's a cherry. Whoa. Put that on my Sunday. Matter of fact, forget the Sunday. I'll eat it right out of the jar. There's 22 of them here. That's HowieSpiked.com.
This is Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
This is Mike Skillen, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again.
We're a gun. We are here a gun. Mike Skill from the Romantics. I'm wondering if David Cohen had any thoughts about the Romantics and their music. Will their music ever be covered, do you think?
Oh, they were great. Yeah. I mean, they had some really great songs, and they had a very unique sound to them. I think they're from Detroit. Yep. And the videos, and yeah, they definitely created a unique sound that I enjoyed very much. And will they be covered? You know, they should be. Well, I think that kind of music, that guitar led type of rock and roll music, is hard to find these days, but I think it'll come around again, and I think they will be covered.
I mean, what I like about you, how could it not be covered? That's a Louie Louie kind of a song. No, I mean, like,
absolutely,
relatively easy, with energy and fun and a smile. Yeah, right,
exactly.
And a drummer singing that one, that's what gets to me. The drums aren't exactly creative in it, because it doesn't have to be, and he's singing like a lunatic. It was just a fun song. They have other ones too, but anyway, we've had him on the show, and he'll come back if we would like. He's got some new stuff that comes out every so often. Nice guy, Mike Skill. Never thought I would be talking to Mike Skill when I was listening to that music in the Ratskeller in Providence College in
Ratskeller.
1982, right. You know. go back to the Ratskeller, 1982, Providence College, and tell Douglas Viviani that he will be interviewing Mike Skill from the Romantics, and he'll say, what?
They'll probably say, yeah, you're just talking in your sleep.
Here you go.
Get it?
Romantics? Well, that's what I like about you. All right, so, David Cohen, we can continue. I have a song here that I think is somewhat of interest or interesting, that has been done so many times and I don't know, kind of overlooked, but maybe it should be. I don't know. Let's take a look and listen to Unchained.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch. So slowly, and time can do so much. All you, still more. I need your love. I need your love, God.
Like her or not, that Leanne Rimes got some voice, huh?
Yeah, she really does.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I played her because, it's nice to hear, you know, a young lady singing this song as well.
Young lady.
I really think she did a great job with it. You tell me, David Cohen, why did any of those not do or do not make the list? And do you have, let's put it this way first, do you remember the order? I could tell you who that was. Did you write those down? I didn't tell you to.
You didn't tell me to. No, I mean, other than the Righteous Brothers.
Right, so there was,
I'm not familiar with the first two.
Okay, so let me just give you a fill in the blanks.
So that's a new one on me. That was a good find.
Here you go. Todd Duncan, Roy.
Oh, Todd
the original.
Duncan. Okay.
Okay, then Roy Hamilton, and then the Righteous Brothers, and then Elvis showed up again. He's been here before, and Leanne Rimes. So I don't know. I think, of course, the Righteous Brothers made that extraordinarily popular. Elvis played it a lot on his live shows. I don't know that he did amazingly with it, but he did a version you'll recognize. And to me, Leanne Rimes may fall into your category of something new, you know, done to a song that you've heard before. You tell me, David Cohen.
Well, the problem with that song is that the Righteous Brothers, and that was really good, Doug, because it's a cover song. They really made the song what it is today, and it'll always be remembered as a Righteous Brothers song. So meets all the criteria in my checklist. Just the vocals alone. How can you forget, you know, how can you forget hearing those vocals in your head when you think of that song? And it's also been in countless movies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, so my point is, I don't think when a song becomes so identified with a particular version by a particular artist, it's tough to make a cover song of that. And I think this is one of those examples. So as good as, you know, Leanne Rimes' cover is, you can't help but compare it and want to go back and listen to the Righteous Brothers. I think that's the problem with that particular song. Nothing against her.
Yes, and but on the other side of that, just to argue the other side, is she did make it different and her own for sure. And her version you would want to listen to again, but I agree with you on some level that this is kind of a, we spoke about this with one other song with John Lennon, kind of an Imagine type, where why would you do anything beyond what was just done? Although this is unique, because what we're talking about is the cover being iconic. Isn't that interesting? Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
But do you believe it is in the same level, let's say, as Imagine? Like, hey, why are you doing that for this song?
Yeah, the only difference being that so many people cover Imagine. I don't understand it. Right. But not many people cover that Righteous Brothers. Well, I call it a Righteous Brothers song. I guess it's not really a Righteous Brothers song, but they covered it. So, yeah, but I understand what you're saying. It, like Imagine, it just, I don't think it should be covered.
Now, the other question is, Righteous Brothers, they've done other music, of course. We all know them from other things. Were they ever, do you, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but ever able to get out from under the request for them to sing Unchained and Did They Care?
I don't know whether they cared, but I'm sure they had to perform. I'm sure that I don't know if they're still around, still with us, but I'm sure if they are, they're still getting requests for it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I mean, it's just a great song. Okay, and it's just a nice way to end this topic with something like that, where I actually kind of stumped David Cohen. That was nice to see. And yeah. Anyway, or just added to the pie. I actually had a chance to add
I'll
something
get you
to the pie.
Back for that, Douglas.
Now, I don't know why I have this one in here, but I'm going to throw it in here. George Benson and Whitney Houston, a song that we all know, but let's just hear if it matches up with David's category here.
Best. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero.
I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. So I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadows.
Okay, we're back. David Cohen, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, listen, Whitney Houston, how could you, whatever she sang, I mean, was better than whoever did it first.
Including the Star Spangled Banner, by the way.
I mean, exactly.
How do you do that? Yeah, she was freaking, right. She was amazing, amazing, amazing. What a waste in some ways, you know. Of course, she died too young. But I don't know. We could do a whole story on that. But the point is that voice was angelic, no?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you listen to these people. I know this is not fair, but all these American Idols and all these others, and they want to do the high notes and they want to show off their voice. They can't come. This is when you have a voice like this. This is when you do it. Not when you're just because I could reach the note, I want to do it. She reaches the note and sings it like a chord. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah, just a real gift, one of a kind. Oh.
Anyway, and, what about tell me about George Benson.
George Benson. You know, actually, when I heard that, I thought of his cover that he did of Broadway. Remember that one?
Sure.
So. Which was a great cover of original Drifter song, which in and of itself was an amazing song. So in retrospect, I probably would have put that on my original list, George Benson's cover of Broadway, because he just did it in his way, very bluesy type version that was, I think, as good as the original.
Absolutely. Talk about George Benson for a moment. I mean, it seems to me that he's disappeared pretty quickly. I don't know his history, but he was going strong in the 70s and a little bit in the 80s. And all of a sudden, where did he go? I really enjoyed his work. Totally different. Got that blues vibe, but still had a little rock and roll to it. Had a real nice voice. You tell me, is he somebody you respect and enjoy or what?
No, absolutely. I was going to say, I wonder...
I don't know. Can we get him on the show?
I really do want to try. That's a great question. I'm circling that. We're going to give it a try here on Everything Old is New Again. David, this is the last of four shows. You have 30 seconds to sum up all of the shows.
Oh, boy. It's been so fun. You know, Doug, and listeners could probably tell, it's a favorite subject of mine, cover songs, and just in general, how artists influence, musical artists influence future artists, and how they influence artists beyond them. So it's a great topic. It's music. Who doesn't love music, right? So just to start with, you did a great job putting all those clips together. I got to give you a lot of credit for that. I threw a lot of stuff at you, but it all sounded great. And the songs you came up with on this show, a lot were surprises to me. And yeah, I hate to see it go, but I think we did a pretty good job over four shows of, you know, covering the basics. But to our listeners, if there's anything that we missed, please let us know. And maybe we'll have another show of songs that we missed that the listeners came up with. How about that?
Yeah, I would say the topic, not endless, but it certainly is a deep well. There's a lot there to dig into. So, and we can ancillary talk about other artists just as an aside, like we did with Elvis, a little bit with George Benson and so forth, to bring some things to life that you may not be familiar with. Anyway, that's what we do here on Everything Old is New Again. David Cohen, thank you for the day. Thank you for the weeks of, really a month worth of this topic. We enjoyed it. The Minister of Melody, the Harbinger of Harmonies, the Titan of Tune, and last but not least, the Connoisseur of Composition, David Cohen. We'll see you next week and Everything Old is New Again.